The first type of soil described in this parable is the path. And there were paths through and around the farmer's fields. So it was inevitable that some of the seeds that were scattered would fall upon these paths. The paths were packed down hard because of all the people walking on them. They were so hard that the seed was unable to penetrate the soil, and so they remained on the top of the ground. And you saw in the video how those hungry birds were able to come and take those seeds away. And here Jesus is referring to people whose hearts maybe have got a little bit hard to the truth of his word, how God's word cannot penetrate their lives. Just as a seed cannot grow unless it penetrates the ground, so the seed of God doesn't grow unless it penetrates our heart. It's all good to have it in our heads, but it needs to be in our hearts as well. As you know, farmers remedy this problem by ploughing their fields. The plough breaks up the hard ground so that when the farmer plants the seed, it can also penetrate the soil. And just like those farmers, some of us need to plough the soil of our hearts so that God's word can enter in. We need to prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, we read, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." So if we're going to fully receive from God, if our lives are going to be the good soil that God wants it to be, I think we need to prepare our hearts just as a farmer might prepare the soil. And of course we can do this. We can do this by reading God's word, by coming to church, by making that conscious decision to be open to what God is saying. And of course by prayer. We're just in the national weekend of prayer. Yesterday we had a 24 hour of prayer at this church, and what a fantastic way to prepare our lives, to prepare our hearts to receive God's word. Jesus then goes to speak of our soil that is rocky. It's not talking about soil that had rocks in it, but it had a shallow layer of soil on top of some solid rock. And because of the underlying rock, the plant isn't able to put down deep roots. And that's really important. It's important to understand the reason the plant dies isn't because of the hot sun, but it's because its roots aren't deep enough to deal with the trial that the sun brings. The same trial that destroys one plant can prove the quality of another, because everything depends on the roots. If the roots are shallow, the plant will be scorched and die. If the roots are deep, the plant will survive. And its very survival proves that it's a strong, healthy plant. In 1 Timothy 3, we read, "Keep hold of the deep truths of the faith." This is why Paul prayed the Ephesians would be rooted and established in love. Because he's saying a shallow Christianity can't survive those times of trouble. But if we're not content with that shallowness, if we're willing to go deeper in our faith, we can discover that the chains that seem to bind them serve only to remind them they drop powerless behind them. Are the troubles of lives knocking us out, or are they making us stronger? You see, you can't go too deep with God. Our roots can't be too deep. No matter how much we grow in the faith, we still have more growing to do. And some practical ways we can put deep roots in. We can come to church. The Bible says, let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. God knows we can't grow alone. We need each other's love. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's support. We need to follow in the footsteps of mature believers. We need to follow the word of God. To experience corporate worship. To hear the word of God proclaimed. And of course, we can read the Bible for ourselves. We perhaps have a quiet time where we read the Bible and pray every day. Because part of having deep roots is to grow in that relationship with God. God created us to have a relationship with him. And to do that, surely we need to spend time with God. We need to spend time hearing from him through his word, speaking to him, but also listening to him, allowing God to speak to us. God speaks to us. we can speak to him. Isn't that absolutely amazing? God speaks to us, we can speak to him. So we can plow, we can prepare our soil, we can put down good roots. But we also need to deal with those nasty weeds, because the third type of soil that Jesus spoke of was the thorny or weedy soil. The thorns grow quickly and choke out the plants. The weeds consume the water, consume the nutrients that should be used for the plant's nourishment. And the thorns can represent cares of life, desires for things that are not of God. And these things can choke the word of God out of our lives. The pursuit of worldly things can consume the energy we perhaps should be spending in the pursuit of spiritual wealth. There was an interesting article in one of the American newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, and they interviewed six top executives, and they were each asked what was their greatest fear. And each answered pretty much the same, slightly different language, but they said their greatest fear was not having enough. And they were asked, how much is enough? And they said they want a little more. But it seems that the worldly goods never satisfy. You find a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow and maybe the price of gold falls. You strike oil and the oil market deteriorates. Your ship comes in and it sinks in the harbour. But Jesus said, do not worry. He said, don't worry about what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. If we do this, we can remove those things in our lives, remove those weeds, those thorny branches that stop us from growing close to God, that stop us from becoming that good soil that God wants us to be. If we really want to have this spiritually productive life, we can, because that's how God wants us to live. One day a student came to Plato and asked him how he could have true knowledge and wisdom. And the teacher told the student to follow him down to the river. And the teacher waded out into the river and called for the student to join him. And the teacher told the student to dunk himself in the water. And this is not a hint for your next baptism, Simon or Simon, but what the teacher did was to hold the student down until the student was desperate for air. And then the teacher said, when you desire knowledge as desperately as you desired air, that's when you will find it. And didn't Jesus say something similar? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If we desire knowledge, if we desire righteousness as much as we desire air, if we realise that spiritual things are as important as physical things, then that's when we can be filled with God. If we want to live that spiritually productive life, surely we need to plough the soil and prepare our hearts to receive God's word. We need to put down roots and persevere through trials of life. We need to pull up those weeds to keep God at the centre of our lives. And if we do that, we can have this amazingly good soil. A soil that produces 100, 60, 30 times what is sown. At this time when this parable was told, a sevenfold harvest was considered a miracle, was considered amazing. Imagine a 30, a 60, a hundredfold harvest. How much difference God could make to our lives and the lives of those around us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge of making our lives into that good soil so we will produce good fruit for you. We pray that we will be willing to listen to what you teach us so that our lives will produce a good harvest. Amen.